Blog Talk Radio.
From a simple calendar to cookbooks to more complex collaborations, there are countless ways for you to implement diversity both on and off the job. We'll highlight 7 ways to demonstrate your diversity dynamics on your job, in your home, or in your community. October is Global Diversity Awareness Month, a celebratory time I created more than 15 years ago to highlight the importance of expanding your reach beyond your own race, culture, or ethnicity. We'll share 7 of the more than 25 ways to promote global diversity and tell you why the month is so important to us all. And we'll talk about my upcoming multicultural conference that is set to launch on Thursday, November 6th, and how you can participate in this power-packed, ever-exchanging and engaging event. This is Carol Copeland-Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. Thank you so much for listening to today's show. We hope that you are having a great week wherever you happen to be. It's been kind of traumatic for me. One of my dear friends lost her son in a hit-and-run accident earlier this week. His name was Carl Yancey, Jr. Today would have been his 32nd birthday. When he was a child and my son was a child, they played in several gatherings that we had when we were part of the Jack and Jill organization. It's an African-American social organization. So I extend my sympathies out to the Yancey family, the Yancey-Ellison family, in the death of Carl Yancey. Daryl Yancey is just grieving this week, so we certainly send our love to her. And I know what that pain is all about. We actually had a vigil earlier this week. They have not found the person who killed him, but they had a vigil earlier this week at the site of the hit-and-run accident in Brockton, Massachusetts, and it was a sea of multiculturalism. This young man was so well-liked and just a beloved member of his community. It was just amazing to see so many people of different ethnicities who were there just talking about what a great kid he was and what a wonderful young man he was. So we celebrate the life and now the death of this wonderful young man, Carl Yancey, Jr., who passed away very suddenly on a Sunday night, last Sunday night, in Brockton, Massachusetts. This is also the eve of Yom Kippur, which is the second, it's almost like a trio of high holidays in the Jewish faith. And tomorrow begins the observance of Yom Kippur. So we do pay tribute to our Jewish friends who will be celebrating that day and commemorating that day. Rosh Hashanah was last week, and now Yom Kippur takes place 10 days later. Well, what is Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is one of the highest and the most holy days of the Jewish calendar, and it is the day where Jews reflect on the past year and atonement for their sins. The Day of Atonement begins at sundown on Friday, October 3rd, and it begins until nightfall on October 4th. And according to the Jewish calendar, the synagogue attendance will definitely peak during the high holiday. Rosh Hashanah was last week, and again, this is followed up by Yom Kippur. Jews seek forgiveness for their sins committed between man and God and pledge to avoid repeating the same mistakes in the new year. So again, we say we pay tribute to first Rosh Hashanah 10 days ago, and now the coming of Yom Kippur tomorrow night on October 3rd into October 4th. Well, I'm very excited. I'm going to give you 7 ways where you can promote diversity and multiculturalism in your organization, in your home, wherever you happen to be, because this is a Global Diversity Awareness Month. That's a month that I created almost 20 years ago now. And you can find out all about it by going to my website, carol.com, that's TellCarole.com. Right on the homepage, you'll see Global Diversity Awareness Month. Click through. It'll take you to another page, and then you will be able to download a 10-page document, which includes the 25 ways that you can promote diversity within your organization. I'm going to just highlight 7 of them, but all 25 are in the document. This is free of charge. You can go right to that page and just download it and share it with to your heart's content. So let's start first of all with number 1. Number 1 is to design a diversity calendar for your organization. This can be an online calendar. It can be a print version. It can be big, small. The design, the cost really is up your organization. But what this does, and I find more and more that this point is, I think, important because so many of us, certainly here in the United States, really don't have a sense of the other holidays. Again, that's why I wanted to talk about Yom Kippur because it is a very important holiday in the Jewish calendar, but so often we focus only on our own holidays, and we don't know about Happy Holi in the Hindu faith, and Ramadan in the Muslim faith, and again, Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur in the Jewish faith, and the other holidays and celebrations or civil celebrations that are very important in other cultures. So you can create a diversity calendar that can reflect your organization, your company. You can theme it. I worked with the TJX companies for many years as their diversity consultant. And they had a pretty big budget during that time, and they put together a very sophisticated diversity calendar every year. It was a wall-mounted version. They had cards where people had recipes or clothing or fabric depicting their particular culture or ethnicity. So they had a pretty elaborate calendar because they had the budget for it. You may not have a budget at all for a calendar, but you have talented people who can come together, package together a type of calendar that will reflect your organization, your company, your business, your community, your home, or whatever. So that is a great way to celebrate diversity by packaging together and putting together a diversity calendar. That's number 1 for you. Number 2 is to adopt a student and teach him or her about your own cultural background. Now, this is particularly helpful and useful if you live, let's say, in a college town, and you come in contact with or you see these college campuses and with students who come every year from different parts of the world, and you can maybe build a relationship, start a program or get involved in a program on, I'm speaking about a college campus right now, you can go to a college campus and befriend one of those young people, adopt them, bring them home for Sunday dinner. Lord knows when I was in college and we had no money, this is back in the 70s, to have a Sunday meal at somebody's house was like heaven. Oh boy, that was just it was a gift, a real gift. So you may, again, not have a big budget, but maybe you're a great cook, and you can identify a student and bring them to your house or bring a group of students to your house and have a meal with them, share your stories about who you are and where your family comes from, and find out more about that young person, or you can help them accordingly. So that is another way that you can share and spread the promotion of diversity work. Now, that's for on the college level. Let's say you have an opportunity to work with high school students, middle school students, elementary school students, daycare students, whatever it happens to be, and you can work with one student and work and collaborate with them. The public school systems across the country typically have opportunities where the general public can get involved with helping the students. They have to be careful in terms of information they released to these. There are pen pal programs. I know that the Timelty School in Boston, the Boston Public School, has had a pen pal program for years, at least 20 years. And it's an opportunity for the general public, again, to go in and build a relationship with young people, encourage them, empower them, tutor them on occasion. But it's a wonderful opportunity for adults to impart their knowledge and wisdom with young people. So there are formal programs like the Pen Pal program, or if you have an opportunity, then you can get involved in something even more informal, but you have to check with the school first, get permission first from the school, and see how that can be done. Maybe you come into the school and you work with a group of students, or you talk to them and you share with them about your background, there are ways that you can get involved with students in a way that you can be a real big help and a benefit to them, either on the secondary level, the elementary level, primary level, or on the collegiate level. That's number two. Number three is to audio tape your oldest relative and share their stories in some kind of family archive collection. We all have older relatives. In my case, I'm becoming the older relative, and that's kind of scary, but I do have cousins. Aunts are pretty much gone now, but I do have cousins who are in their 70s and 80s and even 90s, where they have tremendous stories about what was it like growing up in Cleveland or Detroit or Atlanta or Savannah or New York or San Francisco. And you can now simply take your smartphone and interview them. Your smartphones, typically the smartphones now have very good equipment that can be used for either audio or video recording. So you don't need to spend a lot of money on this. You can just take your phone and interview away. Specifically ask them questions that will pique their curiosity and give them information that will spark some kind of conversation with them. If you're talking about older relatives, I would encourage you to just prepare them in advance. Don't just show up at their house and stick a microphone in front of their face. They may freeze. But make an appointment and see if you can, maybe it's at a family gathering, give them a little time just to think. You can plant some questions their way, and then allow them to answer accordingly. I actually talk about this in my book, 21 Ways to Bring Multiculturalism to Your Job, Your Home, and Your Community. And again, at my website, you can find out how you can get that book. That has detailed information about how you can do this. But it's an opportunity for you to share and collect the wisdom of the elders in a way that will be very meaningful, not just for you, but for your children and other people in your family. So that is number three. Number four, at work, is arrange for either formally or informally having brown bag lunches and discuss questions such as, what is an American, or what is a Canadian, or what is a Kenyan, or what is a person from the UK? Wherever you happen to live, you can determine what that question happens to be. I know I've done this with the diversity workshops that I've run, and I'm always amazed at the questions that I get and the number of people who respond. They say, yeah, America is from the top of Canada all the way down to Argentina, and all the way down to, yeah, Argentina. So, again, if you're talking about the Western Hemisphere, yes, North America and South America can certainly be included in that American concept. I think this is a great way to break ice, to break the ice, to break down walls of division, and it also allows people and it gives people permission to express themselves in a way where they can learn from one another, and you can determine, you know, what is your configuration or your definition of what an American happens to be, or again, the country of your choice. Brown bag lunches, people can bring their lunches from home, or they can go to the cafeteria and get food. Again, I'm talking about things that don't cost any money, but it certainly is rich in conversation. So again, brown bag lunch around lunchtime or at a time that is appropriate. You can gather people together. If you're in HR, you can coordinate this with HR or human resources, or you can coordinate it with your department, your sales team. You can do this after work. You can do it before work. You don't have to be restricted to lunchtime. Maybe you can get people together before the workday and have these kind of discussions, or do it after lunch, or pick a time that is appropriate for you. But the most important thing is the discussion over food. Food is a great equalizer. And when you have meals together and break bread together, it's an opportunity for you to share across divisions, cultural divides, and other ways where people may feel a little different. But again, the food and the conversation can bring people together. So that is number four. Number five, I think, is the most important one, and that is to read at least two or three newspapers every week to broaden your perspective. Again, I'm looking at very low budget and low cost ways to do this. Now, 25 years ago, before we had the internet, yes, you would probably have to take out a subscription to these publications or go to your local library and find out time, carve out time to actually read newspapers. You can still do that. That's okay. But you can take your smartphone, you can take your laptop, you can go online and find particular publications to read. Now, one that I highly recommend for Americans who are obviously living in the U.S. is to read BBC.com. It used to have a longer URL, but it's very short right now. BBC, B as in British, B as in broadcast, C as in company, BBC.com. They have probably one of the most extensive resources available on the planet. You can actually learn a language at BBC.com. You can also learn how to record, how to do videotaping. They have a new section at BBC where you can they have videos, actual videos, step-by-step videos about how you can do videotaping with your smartphone. All free. This is all free. So that is a website I highly recommend, BBC.com. You can go there. They have video clips. They have resources. All the latest news around the world is covered there, and that would be my suggestion. Another good American-based news organization to go to would be CNN.com, CNN.com. Again, they're fairly neutral. You can get a good snapshot of what's going on, particularly in the United States, and they don't have the resources that BBC.com has, but it's a fairly good national news organization and certainly a good website as well. Clearly, your local websites are ones that you want to pay attention to, your local publications. I'm in Boston, so Boston.com is connected to the Boston Globe, or you can go to BostonHerald.com. That's the other newspaper in Boston. So you pick your city, and there is a website connected with your newspapers. Again, you don't have to spend any money. Some of these sites have become monetized, so they want you to subscribe, but typically there is a free version where you can go and get some of the articles and read up on the news that way. Another website I would recommend to you in terms of a news organization is Al Jazeera. I know that they have a television version, but it is Al Jazeera. This is the English version, Al Jazeera, Al Jazeera. And they do a fairly good job of covering particularly Middle Eastern news and some Far East news as well. So, and it's all in English. They have videos. They have shows, again. And I think that their website is a lot better than their television program, the television network, that is. It's still a work in progress, but I would definitely encourage you to do that. Let me give you another source that would be very helpful to you, and I'm pulling it up right now. It is the Times of India, and looking to see what the – yeah, it's the timesofindia.com. timesofindia.com, timesofindia.com, national news organization, fairly extensive website. India is the second largest country in the world, so that's why I'm promoting it. You'll find out what's going on in the world. Their Prime Minister, Modi, I'm not sure if he's still in the United States now. He came to the United States, I believe, yesterday for a visit, and so he is making his way. This is actually the first time he's gotten a visa to the U.S. since the 2002 debacle that he was involved in. So you can read up on that. But again, that is a good website, and there are others like it. So check out the websites. that represent either countries or ideologies that you believe in, and you know, carve out maybe a half an hour a day if you have it. When you're commuting, if you're not driving, you have your smartphone, you can go and instead of listening to music, check out some of the newspapers online. So that is number five. Number six is to create a diversity cookbook or a diversity cooking calendar. So to tie it in with number one, gather up recipes from people in your organization, your family, your community. There are actual companies that will actually package together a diversity cookbook for you, or any kind of cookbook for you. I believe I'm online right now, and I think that the company is called Morse, I believe, and they will actually take your recipes and package them together, and you can create a whole book and you can sell them. So you can do a Google search and find out how that can be done, or you can just simply gather them together, type them up, or you know, print them all up, and hand them out to your friends or family members. But those recipes, those real special recipes that your aunts or your uncles or have been passed down or are significant for various holidays, package those together and offer those up to friends and family. So the cookbook is a great way to do that. And again, you can maybe create a website and put all of those recipes at a website. You could go to web platforms like Weebly, W-E-E-B-L-Y, W-E-E-B-L-Y. They have a free version where you can set up a website for free. My websites are run off of Weebly on the paid side of it, but they're very easy to set up, very attractive. And again, perhaps you can have a whole website just with recipes, with friends, families, or colleagues, supervisors, whatever it happens to be. You can set it up on a website inexpensively or free of charge and share your knowledge that way. Or Google, I think, also has a way where you can set up a free website. There are lots of free websites out there now. The point is gathering the information for these recipes, these cookbooks, and then archiving them somewhere so that people will have access to them long after the project has ended. And then number seven is to collaborate with non-white organizations and develop a mutually beneficial relationship. Let's say you are part of your local Kiwanis. I'm sort of making this up right now, but you are in XYZ community and you are part of Kiwanis, and your particular Kiwana organization is all white. There are no people of color at all, maybe very few women who are involved. Who's to say that you can't reach across the aisle and partner with an organization of color, an organization that represents minority constituents? Again, I'm not plugging this, but I am sort of. My book, 21 Ways to Bring Multiculturalism to Your Job, Your Home, and Your Community, lists a number of minority organizations that represent minority communities, and you can simply reach out to the president of the local branch of that organization and have a dialogue, have a conversation. Maybe you can plan a meeting together. Now, these organizations include, and I'm reading from my book, the National Congress of American Indians. That's one organization. Another one, the National Urban League, and I know the Urban League has chapters all over the United States, including here in Boston, the Urban League of Eastern Massachusetts, the National Council of La Raza, that is a Hispanic organization, again, very large, and they have chapters around the country, ALFA. ALFA is the largest Latino association for business professionals. There are about 3,000 members of ALFA here in the greater Boston area, and they're pretty active and vibrant. There's also the League of United Latin American Citizens. Let me read that again. The League of United Latin American Citizens, called LULAC, was founded in 1929. Again, it's a very large and old organization. So that'll give you a sense, and also the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. Those kind of organizations are always looking for ways where they can dialogue, where their issues can be heard by other organizations. So if you're Rotary, Kiwanis, Knights of Columbus, an organization that may not be as ethnically diverse as you want it to be, try collaborating with these kind of organizations. Have a dialogue. Maybe you can plan a monthly meeting together. Maybe you can have a meal together, a breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or simply exchange leadership and find out about each other, find out about each other's organizations. That is a great way to really promote your level of diversity, learn from one another, and advance the cause of dialogue and mutual friendship. So those are just 7 of the 25 different ways to promote diversity within your community, your home, your job, that is a part of this free guidebook that you can get at my website. Again, you can go to tellcarol.com, and then on the homepage, click through to the Diversity Awareness Month guidebook. It'll bring up another page, and you can just click and download accordingly. I also want to encourage and invite you to come to the November 6th Multicultural Conference that will take place in Boston at UMass Boston at the Student Center from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. My guest speaker, we're bringing all the way from Liverpool, England, Garth Dallas is a legal expert. He is an attorney and a diversity professional practicing over there, and he is going to share insights about the whole landscape and the perspective of diversity and multiculturalism from a UK perspective and a European perspective. I'm excited because I really want to increasingly mix it up and have people from around the world participating and contributing to our multicultural symposium series and this experience. You could go to either website, tellcarol.com, tellcarole.com, or you can go to msconnect.com. That's my sister website, msconnect.com, and find out more information about the conference, how you can register. It is only $99, and that includes our upcoming webinars that are going to take place, a discounted price on the Black History Breakfast in 2015, and of course, registration and participation with the November 6th Multicultural Conference. It's going to be a great, great experience. So that gives you a snapshot of how diversity could play a major factor in your life. All of us, in some way, are affected and touched by diversity. I'm hoping that you will learn how to take charge and embrace the topic, but do it in a way that is meaningful and substantial to your staff members, to the people you work with, your colleagues at home, and proactively and very visibly really demonstrate diversity, that it can be used for your pleasure or for the ways that you want to move it forward. But this will give you a good idea of how to get it done. So I would encourage you to go and download the resource guidebook. It'll be there. It's there full-time, 24/7, 365 days a year. But we highlight Global Diversity Awareness Month in October and celebrate it in a way that is meaningful and useful to others. Find a way to bring joy into the life of someone, meet someone who maybe is of a different ethnicity during the month of October, learn more about Yom Kippur or the holiday of your choice during this month. Find a way where you can experience diversity live and in color wherever you happen to be. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. Empowerment does begin when you believe in yourself. Have a great week or weekend, and we will see you next week. Take care.